Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Chris Poston.
Good morning. Every Saturday, we take a couple hours to talk with interesting individuals from local businesses and organizations. These are people that are doing some pretty amazing things in our community. Now, today, we're talking about life and death. Well, last hour, we had our friend Kirby Wynn from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center talking about giving blood. January is National Volunteer Blood Donor Month and giving the gift of life. And in this second hour, we're going to be talking about end of life. I found a really wonderful quote on the American Cancer Society website, and it's from Dame Cicely Saunders. She was the founder of the first modern hospice, and the quote says this: "You matter because of who you are. You matter to the last moment of your life, and we will do all we can, not only to help you die peacefully, but also to live until you die." Hospice care is definitely a special kind of care. Here to talk to us about hospice and end of life, he's the chaplain for Compassus Hospice, Jordan Knight. Again, talking about death, we're all going to face it.
It's a phase that's so normal and common that we all go through it. And so hospice, in a broad sense, partners with people in an experience that every one of us is going to face, and we'll face it for all those that we draw close to in this life. And it's an attempt to ensure that there's the highest quality and the most comfort available for a person who is, no matter what we do, going to die.
Yeah.
And generally, we're talking about somebody that's been told by a medical professional, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood of 6 months to live. You know, they have a terminal illness, and you know that suffering is, you're generally not suffering from just one illness.
Yeah.
Might be age. It might be a number of illnesses. One illness leads to another, is compounded, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on in a person's life, and that's what's going to happen in everybody's life. So it's that that medical visit. It's the help with medications. It's the help with being a human being. Those functions of bathing and going to the bathroom and feeding, and it does involve the social service aspects to life and spiritual nature, yeah, too.
Yeah, it's so much more than just somebody holding your hand in those last moments.
Well, it can come right down to that, but you know, it's we like to think, especially when we're thinking about living, we're planning for the future. Yeah. Then we get to this chapter, and we don't want to plan for that future that is inevitable. But you know, you'd like to think that we're not going to wait until those final moments. We're going to be realistic about this and try to. It's not a giving up.
Yeah,
it's an acceptance of what is reality, and it's appropriate care and treatment for the symptoms that we're exhibiting. Right.
I love this line that you told me when we were off the air. When you have so few options, hospice gives you options. Is that right? Is that
kind of
how, I think I'm paraphrasing here.
I think so.
Because you've just been told, or that your loved one only has, you know, has this terminal illness, and you think you don't have really any options.
Confidently, I say to you that I work with wonderful people. So I'm just parroting what I've heard, but I've seen this to be true. One of my coworkers, she'll tell me, as I've heard her explain to other people that are resistant to this type of care and this type of chapter. It's so very personal, and people are generally overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And so she'll explain to them that, you know, everybody has that banana peel in front of them. That's when you're little, you fall down, you get back up. But, you know, age, illness, all these other factors, that banana peel is coming, and you're going to slip on it no matter what, and you're not going to be able to get back up. Now, we can give you a lot more options before that inevitable banana peel comes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will see, well, where's my house, my car, my ability to dress myself, all gone. My ability to take charge of my own finances, all gone.
Gone.
So now if I get to decide maybe when a nurse comes and when they don't, mm-hmm. or what type of help that I'm ultimately going to need from a home health, a CNA type professional, mm-hmm. I can have a say in that now. You know, it might keep me in my home longer if right. I want to avoid a nursing home.
Right.
You know?
And it may not cost you. It won't cost you.
Yeah. So
anything.
Yeah.
Medicare. And
right. Right. So those assistances are, I think, very valuable, crucial for a lot of families, you know, that are doing things through their private insurance or yes. or in a lot of cases out of pocket. It's financially overwhelming for families in all regards, and to lessen that load, just even if it's just a fraction, well, that's good.
You grew up here in Galesburg?
In the Galesburg area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in terms of many, a teenager says I'm leaving home and never coming back. That was my plan.
That was you.
But
okay.
I've been back here since 2006.
Yeah.
And raising a family here in the Knoxville area is a blessing, and this community is a blessing to be a part of. And boy, former me wouldn't have ever heard that noise.
Well, did you always want to be a pastor?
I definitely feel like it, serving, you know, ministry, missional type of work was definitely something I wanted to be a part of. Mm-hmm. In terms of that direction, I've been completely wrong and unsure of how that end result, that product is to look. But, you know, with Habitat for Humanity was an example of that. Serving as a youth pastor is an example of that. Mission work in New Orleans, you know, just things I never planned on doing. For sure, but it seems like I was led or pushed or I don't know. Yeah.
So you graduated high school, went to college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When did you take that step to, you were youth minister?
Yeah.
And then kind of give us a little timeline here.
I think for me, it happened at Steak and Shake when I was I would have been a senior in high school.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to pursue some sort of missional career.
Yeah.
But the backing was like, I'm just going to go do it. And this dude I had known in high school that was older, he was serving as a missionary in Mexico, and he came home and we had dinner there at Steak and Shake. And I said, I just feel like I should be doing this. And I was expressing to him, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I should be doing it. How do I know it's not just my head? How do I know, feel right that it's God wanting me to do this? And he warned me, you know, about like the future in terms of like finances and how other people are going to feel about you is not going to be good.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. And that should be a sign to you that you're doing the doing the right thing.
Right.
Because you're not going to have this huge support because the world's going to look at you crazy just like it did Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said, I just know it's the right thing for me to do. Because I couldn't do anything else in this life and be truly happy.
Mm.
So just keep asking yourself that. Is there anything else I can do that would make me more happy than this? And if there is, then go pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been the thing I keep asking myself. I've been blessed to serve a number of different nonprofits, to serve so many churches, to serve so many people without the umbrella of, you know, this true pastoral title or some denominational tag, you know. I value highly that people see in me maybe aspects of what they feel a pastor is or should be in their mind,
right?
And maybe I can dispel or, you know, bring a better reality than their past experiences with somebody in the ministry. I just so love meeting people right where they're at.
You went to New Orleans?
So I was there for a few years. No, I was with a street ministry there.
Right.
A nonprofit down there and then going at the seminary down there.
And then Habitat for Humanity?
You know, it was funny how those things worked out. I came back. I just needed employment. I needed a wage. I needed to be able to provide for myself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a laborer on a roofing crew through my brother-in-law. Shout out to Johnny Stipp and American Value Home Improvement.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
Gave me a job. I'd never been on a roof. And the first thing I did when I started volunteering with Habitat, and shout out to Chris Brewington, Brighter Homes Construction, we helped put a roof on. a Habitat house. And, you know, my own mother is telling me, you'll go nowhere in that town. It's got nothing for you. You're going to go roof houses. You're a college graduate. Are you crazy? Yeah. I was working with these dudes that, you know, didn't have college degrees, and they made more money than me. And they loved telling
what
me
they
that.
Did. Oh, boy.
That, you know, right?
Yeah.
But I was so loving. It was one of the hardest jobs I ever worked.
Yeah.
But had I not done that for close to a year and a half, 2 years, when I came back to town, I don't think Habitat for Humanity would have worked out. Because I had to make some believers, right?
Yeah,
that's right. At Habitat, even, right?
That's right.
You know?
And that's right. You had to prove yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Jordan, a good friend of our stations here. We've had him on the air many, many times with Habitat for Humanity. And we've kind of talked about that journey to Habitat. So how long were you with the director of Habitat for Humanity?
So like 6 years.
Okay.
And then youth pastoring with local Presby Church for like six so years.
That's right.
Before that.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, with you're also speaking at many churches here in the
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, the gun and, for hire. You
yeah.
know?
The gun for hire. So how did the change to hospice happen?
Yeah.
You're building houses here for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah. Great things happening at Habitat. Vision for the future happening.
Yeah.
So much to be thankful for, not looking to go anywhere personally, just looking to build that next house, serve that next family. Small towns are small towns, right? You always know people. And I get this Facebook private message. Hey, you ever thought about come joining Compassus as a chaplain? And I had done that type of hospice work in the past as a volunteer.
Sure.
And so I took it as that. And, you know, how many hours a month are you looking for me to volunteer? And they said, no, this is not volunteer. This is a full-time job.
Yeah.
What? You know? And then so I know a bunch of my now coworkers, and some of them I knew pretty well. And so I was asking questions. And you know, to say it was an offer I couldn't refuse, look, there have been a lot of years in my life where I'd been praying that my occupation and my vocation would be the same thing. And if God would allow that to take place, I would not hesitate. And they basically offered me the job that I had always prayed for. Now, I didn't think it was going to be this vision of some hospice chaplain, right? But here it is to do the frontline ministry that I've always thought I would be on and actually receive a fair compensation to do these things. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was try to hesitate. Let me think about it now. So I briefly entertained that. And I called my now boss up and I said, I'm not doing myself what I told God I would do. And I'd be honored to come and work with y'all. And that was such a hard conversation with my employer at the time, Habitat for Humanity, because so many valued friendships and relationships there and just such a great vision for what was going to be the future of the affiliate. And so no easy thing there, but I think they are doing great things today. And I knew they would with or without me. And I'm just so blessed to serve as the Compassus chaplain for the last, 18 months, something like that.
That's right. Yeah. Jordan Knight is the chaplain for Compassus Hospice. Let's talk about their company. There's you had said this off the air. You know, there's they want the hospice services to be, you know, kind of this everybody knows what hospice is, but there's definitely a difference between who is providing those services. And Compassus Hospice has been in this area for quite a while.
Yeah, so it's existed as we know it right now since the early 2000s, but late 70s is when it comes around in this area. Let me give you their mission statement, because somebody put a lot of work into this, and I like what it reads. I believe it word for word. Mm-hmm. The mission of Compassus is to honor life and offer hope to individuals facing serious or terminal illness by supporting them with a common culture focused on three core values: compassion, integrity, and excellence. Huh. And I can tell you, man, God's honest truth, the people I work with day in, day out, I get to see that expressed so very well. It is boots on the ground. It is action above words. It's awesome, yeah. Man.
Where are they based out of?
So there's a whole bunch of offices all over the country.
Yes.
And we serve this area, and our local office is just off of Losey Street on Henderson. Okay. There's Domino's Pizza, and then there's Compassus Hospice, and that's where we are. But we're in the field. There's always that sure. regular office staff, but most of us are out there serving folks in the Knox County and adjoining counties.
How big of an area do you cover,
at any
Jordan?
One time, I might be an hour 15 minutes from okay. here, and they try to keep that in check so we can respond in an adequate amount of time. So, when we get up towards around the Kewaunee area and further north and west, then, you'll see the Moline office take over in that jurisdiction. Then there's Peoria, Peru. I'm going to forget somebody else.
Sure.
But yeah.
Of course. And it's, nurses, it's CNAs. Mm-hmm. It's what are the other?
So you got a medical staff in our nursing staff,
yes.
and then we have medical directors that help us with patient care. And, of course, a person's primary physician is involved in this process, too.
Yeah.
And then there's home health or CNAs who just help with those daily chores of being a human being. And they're great emotional and many times a spiritual support. I mean,
yeah.
Look, you're not carp. Compartmentalized.
Yeah.
You'll edit that, right?
I will. Yes.
Yeah. So you're not broken up into segments, and this care goes all over. And then you got social services that might be some counseling needs, or you're a veteran who needs VA assistance, or I've not pre-planned my funeral and I'd like to, or all these different facets of what is your life that they can help with. The spiritual side of things, I'm a chaplain, right?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a chaplain and a pastor? My joke is that a pastor is going to put his name on the sign and give you an hour you can come see him.
Yeah.
A chaplain is in a time of battle, and they go from foxhole to foxhole to encourage the suffering that's in that foxhole, right?
Wow.
And so I go from one room to the next, and a lot of the same four walls, they're almost identical, The suffering is not unique because it's broad.
Yeah.
And illnesses take hold of people in similar fashions, in similar ways. But within that is that unique individual, and they have this personal belief. I'm there to support it.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets down with JC the same way.
Right.
Or it's a different faith practice. I'm there to maybe knock the stress level down a little bit if we can. Yeah. If I can share the love of Jesus with you, then I'll have met my goal.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm not beating anybody over the head with religion.
Jordan Knight is the chaplain from Compassus Hospice. And, boy, I really appreciate him coming in. Known him a long time.
Mm.
What is your? I got two questions here about this. What do you like most about this? What you do?
I don't think this is ego driven. I get to do what I'm good at.
Yeah.
Within other ministries I've served, I've been called on to do things that maybe I did a good job at, worked hard at.
Mm-hmm.
Is that necessarily where my gifts and my passion lies? Maybe not, and I think this is just a lane. I so love meeting people that are real and honest, and this provides me with that. I love settings that are very challenging. I was speaking with a firefighter earlier today who would agree with this. There's a high that comes with being needed, with being wanted, to have somebody refer to you as savior. I'm not, but I'm honored to be held in such high regard. I think I just love servanthood evangelism, if that's what it comes right down to.
You get a varied responses the first time that you meet folks.
Yeah.
Because we'll say Jordan has, he's an illustrated man.
A tattoo.
You have a tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got a few tattoos.
Right.
And so he's not your typical pastor type guy.
I guess not.
Tell me about some of the, when you go to see some of the older folks.
Yeah.
It's an interesting I'm sure it's been very interesting.
Well,
for
we were
you.
Joking, right? That the bar is very low when life is taking so much from you. You know, it's gray skies for a long time, and not a lot of hope. And when you see me walking,
I was about to say, they say, hey, the chaplain's going to come in and
well,
see you
thank
today.
Thank God we have wonderful admitting nurses. When they say, would you like the chaplain to visit? I'm sure there's like an asterisk and like, now let me tell you about this guy. So a lot of people, they have a visual of what they see a pastor being.
Absolutely.
And I think they appreciate the mold kind of being broken.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have been burned by religion, right?
Yeah.
If my goal is to share Jesus, and that's my hope, but to share it in a loving way, if you like him, great. If you hate him, great. Because one way or another, we're going to talk about Jesus because you want to know about my tattoos and they're all about Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, why would you have all these tattoos? And why? Well, let me, you know, and then the gospel is wide open. And I'm sure that's what Jesus had in mind all them years ago, right? A wise man told me once when I was getting riled up about people treating me off because of how I looked. He said, if you can't stand people looking at you different, you better not be different. And if love is our focus, it'll all work out.
That's right. Jordan Knight is the chaplain from Compassus Hospice. We are talking about hospice today, and it's not just for older people.
No, absolutely
not. You have to see people of all ages.
See some people my age.
Yeah.
Calamity and awfulness. They know no age, right?
That's right. We talked about what you love about this.
Yeah, yeah.
What breaks your heart about it?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. I think you're in the business of helping people carry burdens. And to know that those burdens are connected to such love, it's easy to be overcome by that. But I think that the tears that get going in my eyes now, people could never get this about, like, when I was out doing ministry in New Orleans, people were like, how did you keep yourself pure down there in that sin? And that, like, look, wait, I didn't go down there pure. Let's get that straight for one. And when you see people behave in the ways that you might attribute with that, I mean, it's an ache. It's a hurt because you know that comes from a really dark place. Yeah. And to know that there is such powerful darkness in this world, and for everyone that will be death, to know that you can face that with some light and know that there's just this little fraction of nothing, but it's light, it's hope, how big that can get. That I see that you get to be so close and so vulnerable with so many people.
Yeah.
It's so intimate. It is the embodiment of hospitality. And I think we miss that. I'm preaching on it this Sunday at the Presbyterian Church. We're about spiritual gifts, right?
Yeah.
And we think fruits of the Spirit, but spiritual gifts are not fruits of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are things like kindness and hospitality. Mm-hmm. And generosity, you know, the practice of spiritual disciplines in so many ways are just being a good human being, a loving individual.
Jordan Knight is the chaplain from Compassus Hospice, and I've met some of the people that work for the nursing staff, CNA, volunteers. I think from my own experience with my mother and father, I wish we would have, in both instances. My dad had Alzheimer's. My mom had liver failure, kidney failure, was in a nursing home. I wish I would have made that call to hospice sooner.
Absolutely.
They would have been able to take advantage of all the services because people can be on hospice for months and months and months and for a long, long, long time.
How much time we got left?
Yeah, right.
I want to soapbox it. I'm talking to you right now out there in radio land.
Yes,
and
right.
You know who you are. And I love you too much to shout out your name. But we are talking to you. And I think the writing is on the wall for so many of us, right?
Right.
And that banana peel is looming closer and closer, right? Mm-hmm. But we're powerful individuals, right?
Right.
And we're independent, and we've created a life built off of our strength, you know? But there's going to come a time where it doesn't matter how strong we are, doesn't matter how faithful you are, doesn't matter how supportive your family is or how easy things have been made for you so you don't risk things, right? Mm-hmm. And, boy, I sure would love to have you around longer rather than shorter. I sure would love it if your quality was as high or maybe even a little bit higher than it is now for as long as it can be. You know, the death sentence is there for all of us. And I think, we'd all say there's so many occasions in our life where if we'd acted sooner, things would have happened differently and they would have been better for a lot of people. So I just ask you to consider that. And I'd really encourage you. So you can call anytime and set up a consultation. You know, we'll meet you where you're at. You don't have to come to us. You can if you want. But we'll come right to you, your loved ones, those that you're relying on at this time. Ask any and all questions. You know, if things don't work out, I mean, you can end this service at any time you like, too.
Right.
And I think it's good to ask questions, and it is good to start these conversations sooner rather than later, because we're all going to have them at some point.
So do you talk to your doctor first, or do you need a referral? Is that how that works?
You know, it happens a lot of different ways, but a lot of times what we're seeing are people that are battling these terminal illnesses, and so they are going to be receiving these treatments, right?
Right.
And they are going to see these physicians more often than the quote-unquote healthy person that's going in for that yearly checkup.
Yeah.
And hopefully at some point, somebody within that realm or a family member, it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be any number of people that start this ball rolling, but you might see it come from a primary physician that says, you know, there are other options than more and more treatment, you know. And I'm nowhere close to anybody in the medical realm, but you know, we have to consider what quality of life is for us.
Yeah.
And for some individuals, I don't think it's necessarily wrong. You can do anything at all costs to sustain life, right?
Yeah, right.
Others are going to take a different approach. I think the question you ask yourself is, what I'm doing hurting me or hurting anybody else?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then you pursue that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jordan Knight, chaplain for Compassus Hospice, thank you so much for being with us today on Galesburg Live. I wish we had another hour to chat. We've got
some
a lot
other time.
Yes, we'll have you back again. And if you'd like more information about Compassus Hospice,
they can call us here in town at 309-342-3007.
All right, Jordan, thank you again. Great to have you on Galesburg Live. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Chris.